What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we have a Reardon Roundtable coming up in less than 24 hours tomorrow afternoon. Jane will be on the panel. Ed Rohde will be here as well. And then Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka, with us. Paul Hall with some entertainment stuff. I'm telling you, man, I've watched both documentaries, the Katrina documentary. I'm almost done with that. That's in three parts on Netflix. And then the Paul Hall talked about these last week, the Catfish one, Unknown Number, which is just crazy. And I don't want to tell people too much about this. Do you remember, Fred, him talking about that at all?
Yeah.
So this has to, you know what catfishing is at all? So you're basically trying to lure someone in with fake premises, if you will. There was a documentary many years ago that I wasn't a particular fan of, which was about this. But in this particular case, again, I don't want to give out too much. And I would suggest if you want to watch that one, don't Google it or anything like that. But my goodness, is that a crazy story? It's nuts.
When you had Tim Sommer on Friday, and he, you know, told us that he actually lived, you know, there
in New Orleans
during Katrina. Did you ask him about that?
Oh yeah, we talked about it quite a bit.
What did he
say?
Did he say it was just?
Yeah, well,
he got out.
He got out.
And left the cat.
Yeah, he had left the cat. He told this story because he was back after he was allowed to return home, and I think he said it was like the fourth or fifth day. One time he saw the cat, and the cat's like, F you, dude, you left me. Next day the cat was like, okay, we can make up. So that is definitely worth watching, and it will make you kind of sick to your stomach with the way that people were unfortunately treated. I mean, I'd like to think, first of all, I'll say this. When you have a natural disaster at that level, there's going to be certain things you're not going to be able to fix.
Right.
I'm sorry. Because you had, you know, tens of thousands of people that were looking for shelter, and the only place they could go was the Superdome. Now, having said that, I would hope that if something along those lines happens again, and the funny thing about, it's not the funny thing, but the thing about Katrina was, and we had the 20th anniversary last week, right?
Yeah.
2 weeks ago. The story was evolving 20 years ago today. Because all of the reporting, and they show this, and you kind of forget, New Orleans was fine after this thing comes through. You know, people start coming out of their houses, and the French Quarter is where everyone's up. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with it at all. then the levees start to break. And the Ninth Ward. And see these areas that they were ignoring because, again, it's like coming to St. Louis and doing a live shot at the Arch. Well, there's a lot more of St. Louis. And the opposite happens. The opposite happens when people hear about like a hurricane or something like that. You think, oh, the whole place is gone. Well, it's not. And that's basically what they showed is that the French Quarter in many parts of New Orleans, they were declaring victory. Like, man, we got out of this stuff pretty unscathed. But then they started hearing rumors and they started seeing that everyone who was being washed out of their houses as the water started to rise and rise and rise. Yeah. Not unlike what happened in Texas. They were on their roofs. They're waiting for, you know, rescues, and they're trying to make it to the interstate because they knew that they could get to higher ground. And there were, you know, I think it was a 2-mile-long line or something to get to the Superdome. And they didn't even realize that the convention center also had people, and that was in a different part of New Orleans. So it's just really sad when you look at it and you take the whole thing in, and you remember, I mean, that wasn't that long ago. It was just 20 years ago. Bush got a lot of grief for that. He deserved, I think a lot of people deserved a lot of grief in the way that they handled it. But going back to what I was going to say is I would hope that if something along those lines happens again, look, you can't tell me that the whole Chesterfield Valley eventually is not going to flood again. Now, we may be off the planet when that happens.
It may be.
But it'll happen. But when, if we get in a situation where we're pretty close to this in North Carolina, let's say, and I don't know what the result was, where people are stranded like that and they have no access to food and water, I would hope there'd be helicopters and pallets of food and water that we could drop into those locations within like 6 to 12 hours, because days went on and there were people that just didn't get the attention that they deserved. And there was politics, you know, with that Ray Nagin guy and people trying to draw attention to themselves. But it's a pretty impactful documentary, and it focuses almost exclusively on African Americans, and in this particular case, that's appropriate because they were the ones, the poor people of New Orleans, and African Americans were just hung out to dry. I mean, literally.
They said in that in this day in history last week that 80% of the city was flooded at one point. And it's difficult to recover from that. I mean, that's so much.
Yeah.
Many people.
And the documentary really makes that, it brings the horror of that time back because it was just awful. And there are people that they had to make a choice, get out of town or stay. And if you tried to get out of town, the lines were so long that there were people that were like, wait a second, I'm going to run out of gas. I don't even know if I can get gas, so I'm just going to hunker down. And at one point, the officials started even giving that as advice. If you haven't left yet, just do your best to hunker down and stay safe. And there were people that saw the water coming in at first, and it wasn't that big of a deal. Again, like in some parts, there was like a foot of water. But then when it starts to raise like several feet within an hour, and then all of a sudden you realize you're in your attic, and there were, you know, they show, there is amazing video in this documentary of people that had their phones out that I've never seen before. And they're essentially doing some play-by-play, not unlike what you would see with some of the tornado watchers and the, you know, the chasers. But they're basically talking about their experience. There's one African-American dude in particular, and they kind of chronicle his story from the beginning when the warnings come out, and he knows it's going to be bad. He's not denying it's going to be, you know, he looks around at one point with his iPhone or whatever phone he has, and he says, you know, it's hard to believe that none of this is probably going to be there when, you know, when this is over. And then they take him to the Superdome, and you remember what happened at the Superdome when that storm came in. There were people in there, but then the roof starts, you know, tearing apart, and there's water that's falling everywhere in the Superdome. And they had kept people only to one level, so they had everyone on the ground level and on what would essentially be the field, and there wasn't enough room. They put people into the seats just very randomly. It was horrible. I mean, it was just horrible what people had to experience, and what I'm sure a lot of people still have, you know, trauma from this day. So I would certainly recommend both of those documentaries. Now, I have a topic here. I'm not going to be able to do it the way that I want to do it, but this is nuts. And, you know, I always like to say my legacy journalistic outlets that I subscribe to and I pay for, the New York Times and the Washington Post and the LA Times and the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, I pay a lot of money for all my subscriptions. And there are times where I go through my sources in the morning and I look at the headlines and I just roll my eyes. I'm like, okay. But there are stories that I certainly find that are interesting, and I would refer to them as really good reporting. And I found one today in the Washington Post. And maybe I'll have a little bit more time to do this tomorrow. But the headline is The Pigeon Heist: how million-dollar pigeons, this could be a movie, and it probably will be a movie, how million-dollar pigeons became the target of organized crime. So you have these tycoons in China that turned, are you guys familiar with pigeon racing?
No.
Okay,
no.
Neither am I. It's a big deal. You got pigeons that are worth more than racehorses that are competing in the Kentucky Derby.
What?
And I'm not even making this up. Yeah, so this is a
worth
thing.
Worth more than a racehorse.
Yes! Yes, millions of dollars for these pigeons. Yes. And the story basically tells the tale of a guy by the name of Ton van Gever, who is in Belgium. And they talk about how these Chinese businessmen arrived in the countryside of this area in Belgium with sports cars, ferrying translators, and bags of cash. They wanted his pigeons. Van Gever had been breeding racing pigeons since he was 5 years old. It was a hobby he inherited from his father, who inherited it from his great-grandfather. The pigeons could find their way home. This is the thing that's weird about some of these birds and happens with the monarch butterflies, too. We don't completely understand how this works, but with the pigeons in particular, they could be hundreds of miles away. And sometimes in these races, you get to about 1,000 miles away. And what they do is they put them into a racing situation where they let them all go.
Okay.
And they see, because they have this ability to make their way back from where they were. I don't even think that they know exactly how it happens.
Do they send them to a particular place and then back? Like, how do you know one didn't just go down the block come back?
And this is all discussed in this story, and it's very detailed. But I can get into that
sandwich,
when I do more.
You know.
Yeah, but they, I don't know all the answers to that because I read through this story this morning. What really stood out, though, is that they're talking about, like, this one pigeon named... I think I have pigeon sound effects, too, tonight.
Oh, good.
There was a pigeon named Armando. I kind of like that name.
I do, too.
It sold for $1.4 million
Jeez.
In an auction outside of Brussels. Then there's another one that went for $1.9 million, New Kim. So then what happened, too, is that this became kind of hot, a hot commodity in China, and these mafia groups got involved, and they start going into these people that are raising these pigeons for racing, and they're stealing the pigeons.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's crazy. Let me see if I can go down to the part where, because this story is very detailed.
I have so many questions.
I know, right?
I do, too.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I can't. There's too many lined up in my head. So Chinese mafia are stealing these pigeons.
Well,
what are they going to do with it?
They're selling them to people for money. They're stealing the pigeons, and then they're selling the pigeons for money.
But wouldn't it be obvious, then, if you put that pigeon in another race?
Well, no, because the pigeons don't have, like, RFID codes on them to identify that pigeon.
Well, they all look different.
Right.
What if
they all look different, do they?
What if you have a million-dollar pigeon, and he doesn't come back?
Well, that's what happened with this one guy. What happened is they stole his million-dollar pigeon, and he didn't come back. But let's see if I can get to the detail. This, I'm just telling you, this is like reading this story is kind of like a documentary because there's so many details to this. And I almost could guarantee you that Hollywood would see this and say, we got to make a movie about this thing. But I was trying to get to Sue's question because if you page down on this thing, they talk about the race in particular and how it happens and how they're kind of, you know, it's a mystery to know why they go back and how they fly home. The story even ends this way. They say it is increasingly likely, investigators say, that there will be only one way to reunite the birds to their owners, the ones that were stolen. They will open the cages and hope that the birds still remember how to fly home. And that's maybe the only way they're going to get some of these back. But they've got hundreds of birds that are missing. They did bust one of the rings. It was kind of an inside job with someone who was racing, but he wasn't an expert. He was very bad and wasn't really placing at all. But he was one of the guys that was in charge of leading the criminals to the pigeon coops and stealing them. It's a nuts story. I'll tell you what I'll do here. I'll post this on the old X, formerly Twitter, for people who want to see it, because it really is a crazy story. Maybe tomorrow I'll go into it just a little bit more detail and have some of those questions answered, Sue.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Okay, I don't want to cut in too much to Sue's news, but a pigeon race involves specialized trained homing pigeons that are released at a set starting point hundreds of miles from their home lofts. So the lofts are, you know, what they have. And then after release, they fly back to their lofts where their arrival is recorded by a leg band and a timing device. So what they do is they put the you know, the little band that has the ID numbers. So essentially, they have an RFID thing on, but only if they're racing. Anyway, that's the detail on that. We'll try to get maybe the Washington Post author of that piece on the air tomorrow or next week. We'll see.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
I mean, that makes total sense. I don't know why I was thinking they left from home, went somewhere, and came back. That makes more sense. You take the pigeon somewhere.
Yes.
And then, say, get
and
home.
Then they fly back. Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
On this day in history, 27 years ago, it's only 27 years ago, in 1998, Google was incorporated by Larry Page and Sergey Brin. Now, they were PhD students at Stanford. And together they own today about 14% of its shares. They control 56% of the stockholder voting power through super voting stock. And its original name, you remember the original name for Google?
I don't.
No.
Backrub.
No.
Wait, what?
Really? Yeah, I'm really glad they changed
did they
it
ever,
to Google.
Did they use that, or was that just like a test name they were
I'm
using?
I'm not sure.
Something?
Now, that one I don't know. Susan News has failed you on that.
What do you think we said before Google it when we were like, oh, I'll Google it.
Okay, back rub.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, I'll back rub it. No, but what did we do?
I mean, you just search it. I'm going to search it on Netscape or whatever, right?
Yeah, the first thing I remember was Yahoo. I remember typing something into Yahoo in the 90s. But Google is all over the place. It's National Macadamia Nut Day.
Hell yeah.
Oh, anybody who comes back from Hawaii, my parents did.
It's like a requirement.
And they were like, oh, we love the macadamia. Yeah. Here's the macadamia. And I thought, I'd rather have a peanut.
Oh, I like macadamia nuts.
Yeah, see? But I haven't been to Hawaii. This
you know,
is my problem.
People ask me what my favorite cookie is. It's the white chocolate chunk macadamia nut cranberry cookies that I make. Those are awesome.
You know, you impressed me with that because most people don't go for that. That's an interesting cookie.
It's a good cookie.
National Newspaper Carrier Day, too, and I don't know if we even have those anymore.
Probably a lot fewer in the St. Louis area
I never did it as like an official job, but my cousin, Jim Schwartz was his name, they had a newspaper
paper route. And I remember going out with them, my cousins, Jim and Donna, and helping them with their route.
Was it like 5 a.m. or something?
No, I don't think I would have gotten up that early.
I was going to say, that doesn't sound up your alley.
And maybe it was an afternoon paper. They have those, like, saying, well, we used to have two.
That's right.
I'm being serious. You had the Sun-Times and you had the Tribune, so.
I got the Sun back in the day, just to be different. Well, the new NFL season kicks off tonight with the Eagles. I still can't believe Super Bowl champion Eagles hosting the Cowboys. Now, we've got people coming out, moved into this house, right? And we've got two old grills from 1968 and trying to get them working again. And this place is awesome. Appliance Repair Center. And they got these things working. They had to order parts. They're coming out tomorrow. And this woman went into books, old books, to find me racks that go on the top of the thing.
Nice.
It's really cool. Her name is Connie, and she's awesome. But when she called to say they're coming to on Monday, she said, "Go Cowboys." And I said, "Oh, no." And she said, "Don't tell me Philadelphia, or I might have to upcharge you." And I said, "Nope, I like the Steelers." So people are already ready for this.
Man, I got to go all in on the Eagles because I have Saquon on one fantasy team and Jalen Hurts on another. So I need production from the offense tonight of the Philadelphia Eagles.
And in case there's any doubt, a new poll found that, yes, football is still America's favorite sport. It's not even close. 48% of Americans follow football at least a little bit. That's almost 20 points higher than second place. The top 10 sports, number one is football. That includes NFL and college. So if you somehow only follow Canadian football, I suppose that would be included as well.
Australian rules.
Football. Yeah, right. Whatever that is. Baseball, of course, number two at 29%. Basketball is tied with baseball at 29%. And then hockey is 12%. Soccer also 12%. Then you go golf at 11%, auto racing at 10%. Tennis at 9%.
Pigeon racing, where does that come
from? Pigeon racing is not listed. That is a shock to us all. MMA at 8% and wrestling at 8%. Yeah, and by the way, wrestling has the most haters,
soccer,
apparently.
I'm sorry, I missed it. Where was soccer?
12.
12?
Yeah.
Same as hockey?
Yeah, kind of. So that's why we've got both of those here. Anyway, a third of Americans say they don't follow any of these 10 sports. Okay. None?
It's weird for me because, like, my kids don't care about sports at all. Like, both
Nothing?
Boys. Not really.
That's interesting.
Like, Evan got into the NBA for a little bit because, you know, he's in Houston. But I always joke with them, you know, and when they're coming in town for the holidays, they know that the TV is set for football. But, yeah, they just don't have an interest. It's weird.
It is kind of weird, especially since you're so into it.
Yeah, and with me, I think my boys just fake like they like it.
Really?
Do they really?
Yeah, they're not big sports fans.
Oh, that's funny. But they always buy you tickets. Do your kids you sports things?
Yeah, but they don't have to go with me.
Oh, well, that's true.
Well, they'll give me, you like for gifts, they'll do Mizzou stuff and Chiefs gear. Yeah, things like that.
Huh.
But I mean, to sit in what they would never even, maybe even understand. I will guarantee you that Alexa Reardon, my 10-year-old, knows far more about the rules of both football and baseball than my boys who are in their 20s. I guarantee it's not even close.
A new survey has found that 1 in 8 Americans are overthinkers. I think we've got a few in this studio, I'm just going to say. The average person second guesses 41% of their daily decisions. Fred, do you do that much?
No.
I was going to say, you just got to go for it.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. But I don't guess that much.
Okay. What about you?
I don't think so, no. I'm very confident. I'm narcissistic and confident in my positions. Are you kidding me?
We tend to overthink, but not second guess in this place.
That's not true, though. If I'm like at the store and I'm like, oh, do I get this or that? I spend way too much time figuring out whether, you know, is this price effective?
My gosh. Yes, Fred, that's what they're saying. The average person makes about 50 decisions in a day, which is roughly 1.5 million choices in a lifetime. But 27% of people admit they're regularly stressed over simple decisions like anxiety at the supermarket.
Wow.
That was the exact thing. Are you worried that you're not getting the right thing?
Yeah. But yeah. I still love it.
I get texts that say, where are the mushrooms or whatever? And I'm like, oh, for crying. Okay, well, you go, when you walk in the store, they're on the left.
Are they that hard to find?
Yes. Okay. And finally, in Sue's News, we have today's random fact. Usually finds them. Florida is the flattest state in the U.S. Now, Kansas has the reputation for being the flattest state, but it came in seventh. It's actually Florida that is the flattest state. So that's good trivia for you.
That is.
And that's it for Sue's News.
Yeah, who would have guessed that? That's very interesting. I think a lot of people, I've said this before, a lot of people think Missouri is just all flat, right?
Oh,
especially
yeah,
if you've been here to St. Louis and nothing could be farther from the truth.
I ran the right? Kansas City half marathon. That thing was hilly because I thought, oh, this won't be. It was a hill fest.
Yeah, you betcha.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.
Congressman Jason Smith coming up after the top of the hour. He is, of course, the chair of the House Ways and Means Committee. They're doing a little bit of a rebranding on the Big Beautiful Bill. We'll talk to Jason about that. I know he spent some time in the district, as did all members of Congress in the last few weeks before they headed back last week. August was kind of the recess period. We have a roundtable tomorrow. Jane Duker on the panel. Ed Rohde will be here, and Sean Flower, the mayor of Eureka. We'll have Paul Hall in the 4 o'clock hour on entertainment, Cusimano, and Brian Kilmeade with a rare Friday appearance tomorrow here on 97.1 FM Talk. So a couple of months ago, I was actually driving in to the station, and I heard an interview with Rick Perry, the former governor of Texas, on Fox News, and he was talking about Ibogaine, which he had just previously written an op-ed about in the Washington Post. And it was interesting because the state of Texas, Ibogaine is this extract of an ancient African shrub that has been used in Mexico, not here yet. We're trying to see if we can get it to be legal in the U.S. to alleviate addiction, brain trauma, PTSD. A lot of soldiers, people who have come back from war, have, you know, gone to Ibogaine treatment. So when I talked about that on the air, and I had someone that was connected with the organization in Texas on, and I forgot his name at the time, but Eben Thampy, who is the founder and the president of Great State Strategies, reached out because he heard that discussion, and he's someone who is here in Missouri doing some work on this particular issue. And Eben, we've never met in person. I know we've connected on text and email. Thank you for coming in studio and doing this in person this afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great to be back in St. Louis.
So how would you, we were talking, catching up a little bit. You're from here, but then you went to Mizzou and you spent some time in Columbia even after you graduated. Now you reside on the Kansas City side of the state. But you would describe yourself as someone who is, you know, the bio that I have says that you're a visionary and a leader in multiple emerging fields, including marijuana reform, drug policy, criminal justice, et cetera, right? So on the Ibogaine front, how do you get involved and how would you describe that?
So Ibogaine is probably the most powerful psychedelic therapy there is. It's a very powerful medicine, should be approached with a lot of caution. It's unfortunately, it's illegal in the United States right now, but we're working to advance clinical research with the goal of getting the FDA to authorize this therapy down the road. It has tremendous benefits from it is the breakthrough drug we've been looking for opioid addiction and methamphetamine addiction. Somewhere between 80 and 85% of individuals who with opioid addiction who do an Ibogaine treatment get completely off clean.
Isn't that amazing?
No withdrawal.
Yeah.
And with two treatments, that number goes up to like 98%, as this tremendous curative and restorative and healing powers. You know, there was Dr. Nolan Williams from Stanford University did a study of, 30 Special Forces veterans with traumatic brain injury. And this therapy literally was curative in, a large part of that study where, literally you have these physically damaged brains that are regrowing themselves. This medicine puts the brain in a state of what we call neurogenesis, which, allows the brain to grow new neurons and create new connections and rebuild damaged, brain infrastructure.
But because it's a psychedelic and it's not legal, it's not approved by the FDA, people get nervous about that, right? Which was what was so interesting about Governor Perry's op-ed, because he even admits from the get-go, look, this sounded wacky to me at first, but then I saw the benefits and I saw the real benefits of people who have gone to Mexico and with one treatment come back with very little problems when it comes to the, PTSD and things that they've experienced.
Yeah, my friend and colleague, former Missouri State Representative Ron Hicks, he was a Republican in the Missouri House from St. Charles. He actually went down to Mexico in May for an Ibogaine treatment. He had, he'd served in the Navy and had some childhood trauma issues as well, but he goes and does this therapy and, I don't know if it's from his wartime service as a Navy contractor, but, he had ringing in his ears for 25 years, tinnitus, right?
Oh, wow.
Completely wiped out. He was able to address the trauma issues that have caused him PTSD and address that. And it's been transformative for his life. And, we're working together with Brian Hubbard and a small group here in Missouri to push Missouri forward. So what needs
and
to happen?
And how do we do that? Because this is where, to me, I'm very, and I think you sense this from the discussion that I had, I'm very open-minded to some of this stuff. And I know that there have been efforts, and this sounds weird to people in the Midwest when you hear about some of the wacky stuff they do out on the West Coast with microdosing of, psilocybin or something like that, which also has benefits. But this is one that really deserves attention. It deserves, and this is what Texas is doing. They're spending $50 million to research this and try to get it, to be FDA approved. They make it very clear. Governor Perry made it very clear. And you referred to this even a few minutes ago that it's a very, very strong drug. It needs to be medically supervised, right? It's not something you take home and you do yourself. So this is a process. But how do you get it? Because it's still a process that could take literally decades, right?
So what Governor Perry down in Texas did with the coalition Texas, with including the Grunstall Foundation, which is based out here in St. Louis, and the VFW and the Texas Mental Health Coalition and other groups, what Texas is doing is putting $50 million into the pot to jumpstart clinical research for FDA trials in the United States, right? Now, it takes, maybe $500 million or more to get through the FDA process. So what we're working on is bringing other states in to put, money into that pot. I think Arizona just allocated $5 million with another $5 million private match. And, our goal next legislative year is to ask the state of Missouri to put some of maybe our opioid settlement dollars into this fund to research ibogaine. Now, at some point, if you get past certain benchmarks in the clinical trial process, the FDA can create what's called a compassionate use authorization or an emergency use authorization. There's various pathways to fast track these therapies, which, you know, I would probably argue to you that in our state and maybe in our country, the opioid and methamphetamine crises are probably your greatest public health issues.
I don't think that's wrong at all, right? Yeah. And we barely, you know, we're to the point now where we barely even talk about that.
Yeah, and if we can put a therapeutic, you know, a therapy out there that can help exit people from opioid or methamphetamine addiction, we will save lives immediately.
So when Governor Perry wrote about this, I'm going to just kind of recount some of this in the Washington Post. He says, I first heard about the drug from Morgan Luttrell, a Navy SEAL and a combat veteran who was elected to Congress in 2022. He learned about other SEALs traveling to Mexico to undergo an alternative treatment for trauma and addiction, something called ibogaine. When he told me about it, I cautioned him. Like many people, I thought I knew what psychedelics were. They were dangerous, something to stay far away from. I grew up during the Nixon era when the message was clear, drugs are bad, psychedelics will ruin your life, and the only responsible path is total avoidance. But he says, I've come to realize how wrong that narrative was. That fear-based messaging kept us from exploring treatments that could have saved countless lives. And he talks about how Morgan goes to Mexico for ibogaine, and when he comes home less than a week later, he's clear, he's calm, he's centered. Governor Perry says, in a way that I'd never seen before, he found a path forward from the psychological wounds he had been dealing with for years. Then he watched his twin brother, Marcus Luttrell, who's better known because of the book and the movie Lone Survivor, go through the same experience. And I didn't know this, but Governor Perry explains that Marcus had lived with them at the governor's mansion after he came back from war. And this was a guy that was in pain from injuries. He was dependent on opioids just to get through the day. He drank a lot. He used a lot of nicotine. And he had all this grief, trauma, and survivor's guilt. So he goes to this clinic in Mexico. And Governor Perry admits he came back completely changed. He doesn't need opioids. He hasn't touched alcohol. He quit chewing Copenhagen, and he found peace. Now, you know, not every story is going to be perfect, Deepin, and there's probably side effects, too, to ibogaine, like there are side effects to anything else. But these are pretty dramatic things that are happening.
Yeah, you know, ibogaine creates an extraordinary state of neuroplasticity and neurogenesis, so you have the opportunity to physically heal your brain and nerve damage, and there's other aspects of this that are valuable for healing purposes in the body. But you know, there's also a aspect of this that I believe is spiritual. You know, you think about folks with addiction, right? You have a physical addiction, like with opioids, right? And if you have a strategy or a therapy to help someone leave that addiction. Right. You know, I've come to believe a lot of addiction is rooted in, you know, existential despair, spiritual isolation. Right. And, you know, ibogaine and other psychedelic therapies has this aspect that it is possible. In fact, it is often something that you hear people talking about is this reconnection with their inner divinity, the ability to feel love again, to experience love again, to feel the love, the divine love of the Creator, and being able to reconnect to other human beings. And I think that's, you know, beyond the physical healing, you know, that seems to be
the most
transformative part of this therapy. Because, like, look, if you get someone off of an addiction, right, but they have nothing to live for, right, if they're isolated socially and spiritually, they just go right back. Like, there's nothing, you know, it's you know, a lot of addictions are just ways to cope and numb psychic or spiritual or emotional pain or trauma, right? And so being able to have a therapy that allows you to access that fundamental aspect of healing, not just the mind, but and the body, but also the spirit, is very powerful.
Yeah, that's interesting. So where are we at this point, and how can people, there's going to be people out there that may want to help. I told you, you reached out to me. I certainly want to give attention to this. I know some pretty important people in Missouri, but what's maybe the next step here in our state?
So right now I'm working to put together a coalition of veterans, members of law enforcement, and other advocates who support access to this therapy. And you know, stay tuned. We can probably do a follow-up here in a month or two.
Yeah, let's do it.
I would suggest, if people want to know more about this therapy and this movement, I would go send them to the to Americans for Ibogaine, which is the website for this nonprofit that is promoting this nationally, and that's with Governor Perry and Brian Hubbard. And that website is AmericansForIbogaine.com, and you spell Ibogaine, IBOGAINE.
Yeah, pretty easy. Well, Ethan, thanks for coming in here and talking to me and the audience about this, because I found it fascinating when I heard Governor Perry on Fox, and I pulled up that op-ed and then I talked about it and had Brian on, and I just think it's an interesting issue, and if there's benefits to be had, people need to be open-minded. And I think that we're in a point now with, because typically, and this is why Governor Perry's entrance into this issue is fascinating. Typically, you go back even probably a decade, certainly go back two decades, the dividing lines are clear. Republicans ain't going to go for this at all, right? No way. It's not even on the table. But that's different now. And I think Nick Schor is a good example of this in the state Senate. Nick's been very active on the cannabis issue. And there are a lot of people on my side of the table that are very open-minded and, you know, want to get creative with solutions moving forward to help people, I would say.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned I've been working with a former state representative, Ron Hicks, who did Ibogaine therapy at Transcend Ibogaine Clinic in Cancun. And then another gentleman locally I'm working with is my friend Trey Warren. He's a retired Navy fighter pilot, flew F-14s and F-18s. And you think about, you know, slamming that plane down on the deck of an aircraft carrier and the concussive impact that has over time on your brain, you know, and, you know, Trey,
can't even imagine. Yeah.
Trey had had some very serious issues that he was dealing with when I met him. And then he went to another Ibogaine clinic, Ambio, I believe, in February, and it is transformative. You know, it's just seeing him before and after.
Dramatic. Yeah. It's really interesting. Like, Ethan Thampy, thank you so much. And, you know, maybe we do this again. We bring Ron or somebody else back who's had the treatment. I think that could be interesting.
Yeah, I'll probably connect you with Trey since he's local. And Ron is now the Veterans
awesome.
Care Coordinator for Transcend Ibogaine Clinic down in Cancun.
Perfect.
So he's kind of back and forth.
Great to meet you in person. We'll do it again. Yesterday on Capitol Hill, there's always hearings, right? There were hearings today with Bobby Kennedy Jr. that we highlighted earlier. But Nigel Farage was in front of Congress yesterday on the topic of censorship. He is a Reform UK leader. And it's interesting timing because, Sue, I haven't talked about this case of Graham Linehan. He is a comedy writer. He is known for popular sitcoms across the pond called Father Ted and the IT Crowd, and he has been considered one of the most successful comedy writers in the United Kingdom. But earlier this week, he was heading back from Arizona, where he now lives, to the UK to face a trial for something that he said on Twitter months ago. And as soon as he was landing at Heathrow, he was arrested for something else related to tweets. And here's how he wrote the story. He said something odd happened. He wrote this in the Free Press. Something odd happened before I even boarded my flight from Arizona to London. When I handed over my passport at the gate, an official told me I didn't have a seat and I had to be reticketed. At the time, I thought it was just the sort of innocent snafu that makes air travel such a joy. But in hindsight, it was clear I had been flagged. Someone somewhere had made a phone call. And he says, the moment I stepped off the plane at Heathrow, five armed police officers were waiting. They escorted me to a private area. They told me I was under arrest for three posts on X. In a country where pedophiles escape prison, where knife crime is out of control, the state had mobilized five armed officers to arrest a comedy writer for making these three posts. And they're in this piece in the Free Press. And one of them says, if a trans-identified male is in a female-only space, he is committing a violent, abusive act. Make a scene, call the cops, and if all else fails, punch him in the balls. That got him flagged. And a couple others, which were really, really innocuous. And he writes in the Free Press, when he saw the cops, he laughed. I couldn't help myself. Don't you think that, he says, don't tell me you've been sent by trans activists. The officers didn't react. This was the theme throughout most of the day. Among the rank and file of the police, there was sort of a polite bafflement. They were entirely professional and even kind, but most had absolutely no idea why this was happening or what this was about. And he says, once the officers began reading me my rights and I realized what was happening, the red mist descended. The officers saw how upset I was and treated me gently after that. They even arranged for a van to meet me on the tarmac so I didn't have to do the perp walk. So at Heathrow, he says that his belt, his bag, his devices were confiscated. He's thrown into a green-tiled cell with a bunk and a silver toilet in the corner. Later, he's being questioned by a police officer where the tone shifts, and he's being asked about the X posts. And I like this line. He goes, He asked about each of the posts in turn with the sort of earnest intensity usually reserved for discussing something serious, like, oh, I don't know, crime, like actual crime. He says, I explained that the post about punching a trans-identified man in a female-only space was a serious point made with a joke. Men who enter women's spaces are abusers, and they need to be challenged every time. So this came up when Nigel Farage was before Congress yesterday.
Graham Lynham, the comedy writer, comedic writer, and he put out some tweets months ago when he was in Arizona, and months later he arrives at Heathrow Airport to be met by five armed police. At what point did we become North Korea? This is a genuinely worrying, concerning, and shocking situation.
This is in the UK, and he says, wow. You know, Graham says the officer mentioned the term trans people, and he says, I asked him what he meant by the phrase. He said, people who feel their gender is different than what was assigned at birth. And Graham Linehan says, assigned at birth? Our sex isn't assigned. He called it semantics. I told him he was using activist language. And then things kind of got crazy because he started to get really high blood pressure into stroke territory, so they took him to the emergency room. And he says, I wrote this piece in the Free Press after spending about 8 hours under observation. And they determined that the blood pressure was stress-related. You know, he had long travel and then lack of movement and then also, you know, being targeted by trans activists. And again, he's heading back there to go on trial for this other X offense. This is unbelievable that this is happening in a country like England. You know, and we've seen some of this on display in Australia and in New Zealand during COVID. It's insane. He says that he was offered bail on one condition. I am not to go on X. That's it. No threats, no speeches about the seriousness of my crimes, just a legal gag order designed to shut me up while I'm in the UK and demand I face another police interview in October. The UK has become a country that is hostile to freedom of speech, hostile to women, and far too accommodating to the demands of violent, entitled, abusive men who have turned the police into their personal goon squad. And again, I hope the cops are embarrassed by it, but how horrifying is that?
Get more at 971talk.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Quality sleep isn't just about how long, but how well you sleep. And science proves temperature plays a massive role. ChiliPad by SleepMe is a precision temperature-controlled sleep system that cools or warms your bed so you can sleep hard and recover harder. And it's not just for pro athletes. Just set your temp from 55 to 115 degrees, and ChiliPad does the rest. Visit sleep.me and use code SLEEPCOOL20 for 20% off your first ChiliPad. That's SLEEP.ME for 20% off your ChiliPad. This special offer expires September 30th and cannot be combined with other offers.